Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your reporter and host for today. Thank you for listening. Today on Local Talk, we'll be learning about the Story County Community Foundation's work. Lisa from Raising Readers will join us and provide that report. Ann Critchell with the Ames Progressive Alliance will provide interesting information also. The weather today sounds, oh boy, it's January. And in the coming week, we're going to see snow flurries today that will be pushing through, especially early this morning. It will cool off a bit for tomorrow while remaining dreary, yet highs above and around freezing next week with lows in the 20s. Conditions will make any sunshine moments brief in the coming week. And now let's hear a bit sunnier report from Dennis Hart on the Week in the News, gleaned from our Ames Tribune.
Thanks so very much. It's good to be back with you on this fourth Friday in January. There was plenty of news on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday's issue, where the big story was that Central Iowa was bracing for another blast of winter and that road crews were scrambling. Because temperatures had been so low, pre-treating roads had not been possible because any solution applied to the roadways would have frozen. So the Ames Public Works folks were getting their trucks all loaded up and plowing and salting. Also last Friday, word that an Ames High School freshman had won first place for her essay in a Know Your Constitution project put on by the Iowa State Bar Association's Young Lawyers Division. Leslie Kim said she was surprised that her essay won. Around 1,000 students submitted entries in the contest, and 100 finalists were selected and invited to a luncheon in Des Moines. There was also word last Friday about a European-style cafe that had recently opened in Campustown in Ames. Its name is Clouds, and it's on the 7th floor of Legacy Tower on Stanton Avenue. And there was word that Simply May's clothing boutique in Story City had moved from one Main Street District location to another and was getting set to offer something new starting this past Wednesday. That something new is lunch. Simply May's will be offering lunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in addition to offering its usual array of clothing items. Saturday brought word that three Ames lawmakers met with local constituents at the library on Friday to hear what was on their minds. About 24 residents showed up to meet with Democratic State Representatives Beth Wessel Crochelle and Ross Wilburn and Democratic State Senator Herman Kornbach. Much of the discussion revolved around Iowa Republican Governor Kim Reynolds' proposed 1 cent sales tax hike that she had announced in her condition of the state address earlier in the week. If her plan is approved, the first 0.3 cents would be paid into the state's Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund, which voters approved in 2010. Also last Saturday, word that the United Way of Story County plans to give new books to about 500 local children after it received a nearly $12,000 award to expand the organization's educational programs. United Way was selected by the nonprofit First Book Group for the award. Also Saturday, a report on the new city administrator in Huxley. Rita Connor's first few weeks there have been spent reading up on city documents and getting out into the community. Before she came to Huxley, Connor had served as the economic development coordinator for the city of Des Moines. And there was a feature story about a business in Boone that recently celebrated a century in business. Sternquist Garage and Tire opened back in 1920. Originally, half of it was a mechanic shop and half was a radio store. Sunday's paper brought word that Democratic presidential hopeful John Delaney had spoken at the Story County Democrats' Soup Supper fundraiser in Ames on Saturday. He told a crowd of about 200 people that candidates need to continue fighting for America's small towns that, in his words, have been left behind. He said there's a crisis in small-town and rural America where populations have been shrinking while the rest of the country's population is growing. Iowa Democratic 4th Congressional District candidate J.D. Scholten also spoke at Saturday's event. He's the only Democratic challenger for the seat held by 9-term incumbent Congressman Steve King. Scholten said his campaign has raised 10 times more money this time around than it did when he unsuccessfully ran for King's seat in 2018. He said his campaign is about, in his words, getting out there to the people. Also Sunday, word that the Green Hills Retirement Community in Ames and Heartland Senior Services had partnered to bring adult day services to the Green Hills campus. The programs will help caregivers and provide those who attend activities and ways to socialize. Starting February 4th, the adult day program will run from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. every Tuesday. On another topic, Heartland's executive director, Nancy Carroll, said the program is still trying to figure out what to do in the wake of last year's voter rejection of money for a healthy life center in Ames. Heartland planned to move into that center if it had been approved. She said the center is still committed to getting a new facility sometime in the future. Also last Sunday, a report that a grocery store in the community of Jewel announced it would close and that the community is trying to keep it open. The Heartland Market is Jewel's only local grocery provider. Closing it means the town's 1,200 residents would have to drive at least 10 miles for fresh produce. So members of the community have come together, not only to save the grocery store, but to turn it into a community-owned market. A five-member board of directors created Jewel Market LLC and started selling shares. They have also reached out to members of the community asking for donations. A meeting and free will donation fundraiser will be held tomorrow, Saturday, at the Jewel Golf and Country Club, starting at 5 p.m. Tuesday's paper reported that in spite of low temperatures, the community showed up in force in Ames on Monday evening to hear tributes paid to the late civil rights leader Martin Luther King, Jr. It was the 34th anniversary for the Ames-Story County MLK celebration, and it took place at the middle school. This year's celebration praised King's message of helping others. The keynote speaker was Iowa State University Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion, Dr. Reginald Stewart, who was last year's recipient of the Humanitarian Award presented by the Ames Human Relations Commission. He talked about the power of choice. He said that is what makes you get up after you fall down. Ames Mayor John Hale said during his speech that one of the values Dr. King had was selflessness. The evening program included the presentation of colors and Pledge of Allegiance by Boy Scouts Troop 196 and various musical performances. And this year's Humanitarian Award was given to Ames resident and former Roland Story High School counselor Janet Hopper. Earlier Monday, numerous service projects were taking place around the community on MLK Day, including one at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Ames, where volunteers tied blankets for those in need. Also Tuesday, word that the Ames City Council had decided not to start the annexation process for a 145-acre piece of land known as the Champlin Lloyd Farm. That parcel lies just southwest of the city limits. Much of the council's conversation about that land dealt with how it could affect the Southwest Ames Plan 2040 growth scenarios. That plan is being designed to guide the growth of Ames in the wake of predictions that as many as 15,000 new residents could be living here by the year 2040. Also Tuesday, a report that even though winter weather did not kick into full gear until a week or so ago, the City of Ames Public Works construction season was shorter than usual. The reason? The asphalt plant in Ames was shut down in early November because of a burst of cold weather, and before that, the month of October was wet. One more note from Tuesday, word that an Ames woman had been charged with lottery theft after authorities said she took lottery cards from her former employer. 56-year-old Peggy Quillen was accused in connection with the fraudulent sale of more than $1,200 in lottery tickets at Dock Stop on East 13th Street in Ames last August. Wednesday's Trib reported that Democratic presidential hopeful Joe Biden had made a campaign stop in Ames on Tuesday. He told a crowd at the Gateway Hotel and Conference Center that a president needs to be a healer and that the November presidential election is a battle for the nation's soul. Earlier, he told reporters that a Biden presidency would include agricultural and environmental protections for farming communities. Also Wednesday, word that Congressman Joaquin Castro, the twin brother of former Democratic presidential candidate Julian Castro, had come to Ames on behalf of Democratic hopeful Elizabeth Warren. Joaquin Castro urged Warren supporters to continue their help on behalf of her campaign, while she is in Washington acting as a juror in the Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. There was more on Wednesday, including word that two school districts in Story County had been ranked as top districts in the state of Iowa. A new report from Niche.com, an online school ranking company, ranked Gilbert as the second-best school district in the state and ranked Ames as the fourth-best. And one more note from Wednesday, word that a Main Street boutique in Ames is making changes, shifting its focus to support fair trade and eco-friendly, sustainable brands. We the Dreamers, which sells shoes, clothes, and accessories, announced the changes, which include dropping so-called fast fashion brands in favor of brands that show awareness of their environmental and social impact. Yesterday's paper, Thursday's, reported that the former owner of three popular businesses on Main Street in Ames had been charged with fraudulent practice, sales tax violation, sales tax evasion, and ongoing criminal conduct. 57-year-old Scott Griffin has an arraignment scheduled for next Monday at the Story County Courthouse in Nevada. If he's convicted of everything, he faces up to 41 years in prison. Griffin closed the Old Main Brewing Company, DG's Tap House, and the Corner Pocket last year, shortly after he agreed to a 6-month suspension and voluntary surrender of the business's liquor licenses. Also yesterday, word that Danfoss announced it will pay more than $3 billion to buy the Eaton Corporation's hydraulics division. It was not clear what, if any, impact that might have on Danfoss's facilities here in Ames. About 1,000 people work for Danfoss in Ames. The company makes hydraulics for construction, agriculture, and other off-highway vehicles. There was also word that the Ames City Council talked about building a plaza somewhere downtown during a recent goal-setting meeting. The council has until February 11th to decide whether to spend $200,000 for a design for the possible project. One possible location would be at the Clark Avenue parking lot across from City Hall. A plaza project would require a public vote to help fund it. And yesterday, word that three consulting firms are vying to engineer an upcoming Story County housing study and needs assessment. The Board of Supervisors will talk about which firm to choose at next week's meeting. And that, my friends, is your summary of the week's news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, taking a break for the weekend now, but planning to be right back here on Monday, revved up and ready to go, when I'll report on what's been making news all around Iowa. Until then, I hope you have a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
Tall tree, turn and face the west. Oh, we're running with the wind. A high cliff top, we're waiting with the rest for this journey to begin. These broken wings won't fly. These broken wings won't fly at all. How we laugh, maybe we should crawl. Oh, and ask to be excused. We shout loudly of answers to it all. Oh, but we have been refused. These broken wings won't fly. These broken wings won't fly at all.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Week in the News. And you've just heard music interlude from Dougie McLean, These Broken Wings. Disturbing news this week from Ankeny. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources said on Tuesday that it is looking for the person responsible for shooting and killing a bald eagle in Ankeny. Iowa DNR said it received a call from the Ankeny Police Department on January 3rd regarding an injured eagle near an apartment on Trilene Drive and East First Street. The fully mature female bald eagle was captured but died before it arrived at Saving Our Avian Resources, and that's near Dedham, Iowa. Dustin Imey with the Iowa DNR said x-rays showed a BB pellet lodged inside the bird. One of the lungs was completely destroyed from that BB, Imey said. And Imey said the eagle was likely shot either January 2nd or 3rd, but officials are not sure if the shooting occurred in the area the eagle was found, and they are hoping to learn more about this distressing case. If there's information that can be gleaned, there is a tip line number. Anyone with further information are urged to call the Turn In Poachers hotline at 1-800-532-2222. 2020. But however, there is another eagle story that I would like to relate. Yesterday morning, when the air was heavy with mist in the morning light, I was driving on 13th Street heading to the station where 13th Street crosses over the Skunk River. I usually do a quick scan upstream to check for any perching eagles and those rock conditions that exist along that stretch of the river. And one of the reasons is gizzard shad, a favorite bait fish for eagles, do not adjust to turbulent waters and will gulp air and float. Well, of course, this is just what an eagle wants, floating food on the water. And in all my travels and quick scans upriver over the years, I have never seen an eagle except yesterday morning. So with the news of the eagle that was shot in Ankeny weighing heavy on my mind, it was sure nice to see a surviving eagle on the Skunk doing what eagles do. It's easy feeling good watching eagles. So I walked back to take its picture for this report. It'll be in the archives. So the Story County Community Foundation is the umbrella organization for more than 165 different funds established by individuals, families, and nonprofit organizations to benefit Story County. And in early November, it awarded its annual grants to Story County nonprofit organizations totaling $117,413. Awards were announced during a reception at Ryman Gardens. This year, KHOI Radio was fortunate enough to be awarded funds for professional recording equipment to assist its reporters to more easily and efficiently record stories covering the community. And Sunny Camp is Executive Director of Story County Community Foundation, and we are saddened to learn that she is dealing with the news of a death in her family yesterday morning. Yet the recipient for this report is here from Raising Readers. Hi, Lisa Reeves.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah. So Raising Readers, what a great sounding organization. Tell us more about.
Yes. We are actually celebrating our 20th anniversary this year in 2020. So our mission is to improve language and literacy development in children from birth to age 8 and nurture healthy parent-child relationships.
And do you serve the entire Story County community?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have programs throughout Story County. We have them in Ames, Gilbert, Collins Maxwell, Ziering, so Huxley.
Well, tell us about what a program would entail.
We have several different programs. We have the programs that are benefiting from the Story County Community Foundation grants, our Storytime program, our ACPC Reading Buddies program, and our gift books programs.
And Storytime, is that?
Storytime.
What time does that happen?
Is a partnership with YSS, Baby Bump and Beyond. So while the parents go to the Baby Bump and Beyond classes, then we provide language and literacy-rich environment for their children while they're at the meeting.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. And what was your other?
ACPC Reading Buddies.
ACPC.
Is, yes.
So what is that?
Ames Community Preschool Center, which we have the Reading Buddies program where we pair volunteers with the four-year-olds, and we do language and literacy enrichment activities with them every week.
The third
program was our gift books program.
Okay.
We partner with agencies such as Primary Health, WIC, and MICA to give them books to give to their patrons.
So what has the information shown? I'm sure this strengthens a family and character of a young upcoming mind.
Absolutely.
What does the research show?
All of our programs are research-based. So actually, 80% of a child's brain development happens in those first 3 years. So it's essential for us to get that information out before kindergarten is prime time for their brain development. So we try to concentrate on that Thrive by Five time frame.
So 80% of your mental development occurs in your first 3 years.
Yes.
Wow, that kind of says it all.
Right.
Right there.
There was actually a study that was just put out by the American Pediatrics Association that shows that white matter does significantly increase through reading with children.
The white matter of your brain.
Of your brain.
The brain development.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a recipient from the Story County Community Foundation.
Right.
I'm sure that's essential funding.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We received $3,000 from Story County Community Foundation. So, as I said, it was split equally amongst those three programs. Mm-hmm. So, just to kind of tell you a little bit more about each of the programs, we've already purchased new books and writing tools, letter construction kits, and wiki sticks for our preschool kids. I don't know if you're familiar with wiki sticks. It kind of looks like, I suppose, more like a piece of string with wax around it. So you can manipulate it and make it into letters. And they love playing with those to make letters so that tactile.
Uh-huh.
Part of the program is a lot of
letters
fun for
make
them.
Words
and, exactly.
And words make sentences.
Exactly.
And they can express what they're feeling, what they're thinking.
So one of the other things that we do with that program is building print awareness, oral language, phonemic awareness, and they have already been having a lot of fun with those different tools that we've been able to purchase.
And so oral language,
right.
I'm going to perk right up with that, with radio as our medium.
Absolutely.
How is that structured?
Well, by reading stories, you come across words that you don't come across through everyday language. So you can build their language skills through reading.
Sure. It would increase your vocabulary.
Right.
Hard to get too much of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You've told us quite a bit about your projects and the initiatives and kind of what your mission serves. What am I leaving out?
Well, listeners can participate and help out with raising readers by volunteering their time, organizing a book drive, because we utilize books, gently used books for our Little Free Libraries that are all around the county.
Oh, now are those on the community, the neighborhood?
Yes.
So you're providing that service?
Yes. Not all of them are under our umbrella. There are a lot of people that put them up on own.
Oh, well, God bless them. Yeah, I didn't realize.
Right, okay. Right. So we have put them in parks like Brookside and all around the county. So
they seem quite accessible, and they're such a wonderful, you know, when you drive by, you go, now that's a good thing
to have. Yes, it is. Not all kids have access to the library, and so that's a wonderful way to get books in the hands of kids.
There you go.
Right.
Another really good, strong measure to strengthen the community.
Right.
Yeah.
They can also donate to Raising Readers. We are currently at the end of our annual appeal. It ends next week on the 31st, so they can donate to Raising Readers to help us out.
Do you have any real proud moments? How does your day normally unfold?
It kind of depends on the day, because we do have a lot of different programs that are run out of our organization. We also have the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy, which is after school tutoring, as well as the Summer Reading Buddies program.
Now, Harrison Barnes, now that's a name
yes.
I guess I'm kind of familiar with. He was here an Ames High School grad.
Right.
He went on to
great
things and professional basketball player.
Right.
And he sponsors a program?
He does. He and his wife, Brittany, sponsor the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy. So,
And that's after school?
Right. We have it after school during the school year in Nevada and at the Boys and Girls Club and at the Ames Public Library. And then during the summer, we have numerous sites around the county. And that's a 6-week program to help prevent summer slide. So it's for kindergarten through third grade.
And you mentioned your Boys and Girls Club?
Right.
Is that here in Ames?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Where's it located?
The Boys and Girls Club is over behind Aldi's, if you're familiar with that.
The grocery store. Right. So it's kind of, yeah, there's right. Just off South Duff.
Right.
Are there reading rooms there, or do people?
They give us a room that we can use so that we can pair volunteers one-on-one with the kids.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So it just sounds like a whole array of outreach opportunities.
That 0 to 8 is important to help kids get those reading skills that are so fundamental to their life.
So the philosophy of the Story County Community Foundation can be explained in many different ways. And you often hear the Community Foundation explain it as giving of one's time, talent, or treasures to their community. What is one thing that listeners can do to support your Raising Readers through their time, talents, and treasures? You've touched on those, but maybe just list them off.
Right. They can volunteer for a number of different things for our organization if they would be interested in book labeling or volunteering with a student or helping us with filling the little free libraries. Mm-hmm. They can donate to our organization at www.raising-readers.org.
And the website's always appreciate it.
Right.
Well, Lisa Reeves, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all that you do for this community. And thank you, Story County Community Foundation.
Thank you.
Change.
Searching Mystery from the Dougie McLean Collection. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOY, and I'm Pat Schlarbaum. It always seems appropriate to weave in an acknowledgement on KHOI's successful recent fund drive efforts. The Wolf has been at the KHOI financial door, and now our door is open and welcoming for you to join our pack. So if you're a new member or a new listener or a new business supporting KHOI, realize the front door at 410 Douglas is always welcoming to those that want to check out the station. Stop in to see where strengthening our community through communication is a growing enterprise from the heart. This is where our appreciation to you, the listener, is everlasting. We're the heart of Iowa, KHOY 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. And here's a special shout-out to the Ames Story Tree Service that sent in a membership of $100 yesterday. Thank you, Suzanne and Jim Rock family. So if you're a business that would like to be mentioned on air, stop on in and we'll make that happen. And now we're joined with Ann Kinzel, David Denhan, and Carolyn Myers with the Ames Progressive Alliance. Welcome.
Good morning, Pat. It's great to hear that your fund drive has been successful and that your doors are well and open.
Well, as it should be. Thanks for your contributions to this station, Ann.
Thank you. Well, my co-host, Carolyn Myers, and I are going to talk to our guest, David Denhan, this morning. He is a member of the Skunk River Paddlers, a leader of the Access Ada Hayden Initiative, and a community disability advocate. Morning, David.
Morning.
And I must say, in the interest of journalism, I guess, that David and Carolyn are married. So we have a married couple as our guest today, occupying different roles. Good morning, Carolyn.
And you've spent time on the river.
I have.
Great.
Yes. So, David, can you tell us more how you became involved with Skunk River Paddlers and your interest in the rivers and the waterways of Iowa?
I've had an interest in kayaking since I've been a kid. My grandfather was an avid fisherman in Michigan, so that's kind of where I got into being on the water. And when I moved here about 20 years ago, I got involved with kayaking here.
Can you tell us a little bit about Skunk River Paddlers? What's that organization?
It's a local group of paddlers, of kayakers and canoers who like to get out on the water and enjoy Iowa.
So how big an organization is it?
That's kind of hard to say. I would say maybe like 40 people.
So do you meet? Is there a way people can connect with you? How does that work?
Well, actually, my involvement has been more in just last year because they came to me to talk about Access Ada Hayden, and that's a subgroup of Skunk River Paddlers.
Okay.
To work on this accessible dock at Ada Hayden.
I see. So if I wanted to become a paddler and join Skunk River Paddlers, how would I do that? Do you know? Well, listeners out there.
I can check that out.
Yeah.
I'll bet there's a website.
They do have a website, so I would say everyone should go out there and look them up.
Well, it's definitely a unique group. Name. So, you know, on that search bar, I think it's going to pop right up.
Yeah. So, David, tell us more about Access Ada Hayden and what that group is involved in.
Thank you. Yes. Well, Access Ada Hayden is a group that formed about a year ago, and there was some Skunk River paddlers who were interested in getting a handicap accessible dock at Ada Hayden. And this is actually a way for it's more than just for wheelchair access. It's it stabilizes your kayak and helps everyone access Ada Hayden in that way.
So tell me, David, what exactly... So I think of a boat ramp as a thing that slides, you know, you slide into the water and all that and stuff. I don't know much about kayaking, to be honest. So what? Tell us a little bit about what it looks like. What do you have to do to have an accessible boat ramp?
So this is, if you can imagine, like a chute, a carriage almost next to the dock. So you can put your kayak in from the, unload your kayak in from the shore, mm-hmm. put it into the chute, and it goes right along the dock. And then you'll get to a point where it holds it, and there'll be handles and such where you can lower yourself down into the kayak. One of the hardest things actually is getting in a kayak for a lot of people because it's moving on the water. And so this takes care of all of that, and then it gives you the good hand grips to lower yourself down in. And then you just kind of push yourself through the chute, and then you're in the water.
Would it be fair to say, then, that since that's probably an issue for the beginning kayaker and maybe even the experienced kayaker, I don't know, that an accessible entry point would be used by lots of people, not just people with physical disabilities?
Exactly, yes.
So would it, in your opinion, would it improve access at Haida Haiden overall?
Indeed. And you know, there's really not that many people in wheelchairs kayaking, so that's a necessary idea about this is, you know, we want to get more people out there.
So I understand your motivation. You have physical challenges. You kayak. What are you doing to make this a reality?
So Carolyn and I, last year we went out to Ohio, was the closest example of this dock. So we went out there over 4th of July weekend to take a look to see if it was going to be appropriate for what we want to do. And it was, they were very nice there and demonstrated it for us, and it looks really great. And we've also talked to City Council and the Ames Park and Rec Department, and they're very supportive of this project. It's been put into the Community Improvement Plan, which is just being coming up, 5-year funding plan for Ames. And so that this dock is going to be put into the second year, the 21-22 season.
Well, David, I am interested in your trip to Ohio. Ironically, when Des Moines was looking at some riverfront development, naturalizing what goes right through the heart of Des Moines, they went to Columbus, Ohio, I understand, to get suggestions and ideas. And so it's interesting that Ohio seems to be leading the charge on this type of work where making it easier for people to experience the rivers. What town did you go to in Ohio?
It was Laramie State Park. I remember that.
Yeah.
Were there other amenities that kind of...
There was a campground and, you know, lots of playgrounds and things there. But the big thing was there was this boat ramp that was... They got funding from it from a veterans group.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So a man met us there and then kind of showed us how to use it. And
so it would seem every body of water that has public access could probably benefit from one of these kayak assisting operations or equipment.
It's something that's being looked into more and more. There's been a big focus in parks and public areas of getting more people out there.
You bet.
Are there any accessible boat ramps, kayak ramps in Iowa currently?
There's a similar one in Des Moines at Grays Lake, but it's more of a livery system where you can rent a kayak there, and then someone helps you take it down to the lake. It's not what we want is something where someone can just show up in their car and take their kayak and get in the water and not need that assistance.
Well, what a great amenity for Haida Haiden.
Yeah, I think it will be very nice.
So how does that work, I mean, with the ADA? So we know that former Senator Harkin was the author of the ADA here from Iowa. And does the ADA require in any way that this kind of public access to a public waterway?
It's not required, but it's it should be incorporated in all plans. So it's something that they need to think about and how they can make things more accessible.
Mm-hmm. And who's working with you at the City of Ames? Who do you work with?
Keith Abraham has been very helpful.
Do you think that the inclusion of a park for people with disabilities, the Miracle League Park, has broadened their thinking in this area? Or
Ames has been actually really good in thinking about these things. And because you can see right there, they were interested in getting the Miracle Park built here, too. So I feel Ames is a good partner.
And I will say, to go back to the ramp, I'm a person who never kayaked before I met David. So I had no experience with that. And you know, to this day, I'm still unsteady sometimes getting in a boat on a regular ramp. But with this boat ramp, with the accessible one that David's been working on for Access Ada Hayden, the nice thing is, yes, anyone can use it because really all it really does is stabilize the boat for you. And then so you can get in it much easier. So it really truly is useful for anyone and for anybody of any skill level when it comes to kayaking or boating. So that's I think that's the best part about this is it just makes it access for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because you see I'm from the West Coast and I don't see people – I haven't seen people kayak in rivers so much. I've seen them kayak in the San Francisco Bay and the protected areas in the bay. And it's clear that a lot of people have trouble getting in and out of the kayak. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that something that could benefit, in some people's view, a smaller segment of society – really has benefits to the whole group.
Indeed.
So I know that part of what you've been working on, David, is some fundraising. Can you tell me more about some of the groups who've been helping you with that?
Yes. So the total project will probably be about $85,000. And it looks like currently Ames Parks and Rec has budgeted $50,000. So we're supposed to make up the difference. We've had good support from Friends of Ada Hayden Heritage Park, the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, the Ames Triathlon Association of Ames, and the Great Ames Adventure Race. And currently our funding is up to about $14,000. Oh, and Jax as well has been supporting us.
That's great. That's an impressive list of people.
Yeah.
So you're soliciting, are you soliciting contributions from the community at large, or how does that work?
Yes, we're working on that. We have a Facebook page. I'm still learning Facebook and how to get that going in a great way.
So what's your timeline? I mean, you said the city is going to put this in its plan in year two. And you're sounds like you're about almost halfway to your fundraising goal. What's your timeline for getting the accessible ramp installed?
The community improvement plan is a 5-year plan, and it just went in front of City Council this week, so they have a chance to look at that. And this is a big plan. It's for all of the community improvement in Ames, from like fire and parks and electricity. So there's a lot of things in this plan, but we're included in the second year of funding. So that's the July 21st to July 2022.
So it'd be your hope that you'd have something going somewhere in 2022.
Yes, that's how it's slated to work at this point.
Interesting.
So we have about a year to raise more money.
Well, it sounds like your project is going to be of a benefit to the entire community that uses Ada Hayden, as well as your own community of active disabled people.
Yes.
So it also says in your bio that we got that you're a community disability activist. Tell me about that. What does that mean? What do you do?
Really, this is my first project in that sense.
Okay. So I can't believe it's your first project. Come on. It's not the first thing you've done to advocate. Mm-hmm. Really? I don't see that, David.
I'm not sure I wrote the bio.
Okay, well, help me out here. So let's change that a little bit then. You use a wheelchair.
Yes.
The weather often sucks here, right? It's kind of awful today, slippery, slidey. How does that affect people who use wheelchairs for their mobility? The reason I ask this is because one of the things that I've noticed is that in California, where I'm from, we not only is the population bigger, but we see, especially on campuses, lots more physically challenged people than we seem to see in Iowa. I wonder if they leave because of the weather, or does it make it more difficult? What kind of things can people do to help you and others make life less difficult in this kind of weather situations or other situations? How does a wheelchair work in a slidey street?
Well, I mean, we all have difficulties with the weather. It's
sure.
Not a unique situation.
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm paranoid of falling all the time. I'm just wondering, so my challenge is staying upright. okay, and not falling over. How does it work? You know, those of us who are not wheelchair users know nothing about it. So I'm curious in how do you navigate differently in the winter? Is it harder? Are there things that people in the community can do to assist that are more important, that are different than what, throwing salt like they do for us to stand upright? What's going on?
I would say it's the same.
It's the same.
You need to shovel your walks and be cognizant of removing snow.
So it's kind of like the Ada Hayden thing in a way. So
yeah,
it benefits all of us.
Exactly. I mean, easier access is good for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Stairs are, I'm not sure, even sure, if you think about stairs, it actually is easier to build a ramp. I mean, you know, so I'm not sure why that has been a thing. But yeah, and that's just easier for everybody. People have problems with stairs.
Yeah. Well, the ramps, I there's a couple places around town where you see the ramps, and mostly you see kids sliding down them and stuff. They look a little intimidating in the winter. I had this vision of snow chains on people who wheelchair race or something. No, that would be too hard, huh? Interesting. Well, tell me more about your interest in kayaking. You said that developed with your grandfather. Was that in Iowa?
No, I'm actually from Michigan.
You're from Michigan.
Yes. So my grandparents had a cabin on the Osceola River near Grayling, Michigan. It's kind of north central Michigan.
And what drew you to kayaking in particular?
It's actually a very good way for someone with a disability to get out in the outdoors, because once you get into a kayak, you can really get out there, and those barriers of, you know, slopes and dirt and such are removed. Because once you're in that kayak, you can go for miles.
Yeah. You can let your spirit flow.
Indeed.
Yeah.
My grandmother had MS, and she was wheelchair bound. And she was an avid swimmer. And as a little girl, that was hard for me to understand, that on land she couldn't move. But in the water, she was like a siren swimming around. And I asked her one day, well, why do you swim so much? And she said, well, because I can move. So I assume kayaking provides a certain sense of freedom on water for
exactly.
Everybody,
mm-hmm.
But for you.
This might be a good point to include the website skunkriverpaddlers.org. I'm sure that organization will have a lot of information concerning not only where and when to kayak, but also a part of this ADA accessibility at Ada Hayden. So it's Skunk River Paddlers, all one word.
Thanks, Pat. That's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Yes, thanks, Paul, our engineer as well. Is there, in Skunk River Paddlers, do you know, David, do you have any particular champions that you're working with or individuals who are working with you on this?
Yeah, there's four of us who are actively working on it. Jeff White, Ron Gardner, Rick Dietz, and Cindy Barcliffe.
Mm-hmm. So you have a team?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. That's very good. It helps. So, Carolyn, what do you think that the ability to paddle, you said you were a beginning paddler, novice paddler. What would you call yourself? Experienced paddler?
Novice to nervous paddler.
Ah, okay. And what, when you get out on the water,
mm-hmm.
What sensations, what things come to you from the experience?
Oh, the floating's really nice. David likes a little more of an exciting type of float where there's more ebbs and flows or things in the water. I just kind of like the floating aspect of it. And it also just gives you an ability to be out in the outdoors in a way that you wouldn't be normally. You know, it's much different than hiking or walking around the woods. It gives you access to, you know, lakes and rivers, and it's very peaceful.
Well, that's great. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up for today, folks. We want to thank KHOI, as always, for hosting us. We want to thank David Den Haan for coming in and explaining to us about accessibility and our Ada Hayden Park and folks' ability to help and contribute to this effort to add an accessible ramp and make the experience of kayaking, which Carolyn just described, available to all in our community. So I want to thank everybody for participating this morning. I want to make sure that the community knows that the APA continues, the Ames Progressive Alliance, continues with activities. You can find us on our Ames Progressive Alliance Facebook page and our website at amesprogressivealliance.org. You can always get a copy of this radio show and follow the latest developments, such as Ames Community Solar Initiative and others, on our Facebook page and website. As always, thank you to KHOI for hosting the show. You're doing so much to move our community towards a more progressive and livable future.
Oh, well, thank you, Ann Kinzel, David Denham, Carolyn Myers. Thanks for coming by. A local talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. on Fridays here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. And remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. This program is engineered by Paul Hertz. Thank you, Paul. And I've been your host, Pat Schlarbaum. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We also heard from the Dougie McLean Collection. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.